Kia ora tātou katoa. Welcome into another episode of Playmakers Rugby Stories, where we catch up with one of past players, present players, future players. And this week we have a special one for you. 179 Super Rugby caps for the Chiefs, 43 tests for the All Blacks, and captain of the New Zealand Sevens, my man Liam Messam. How's it, my bro?
Kia ora mātua.
Now, I want to touch on the Sevens. I remember, you were the young fella, and I was captain at the time, you being my roomie. I mean, a lot of obviously positive influences there.
Oh, yeah, you can say a positive if you want. I got a few red cards and yellow cards in my time, and I put them down to yourself, Mato Parkinson and Eric Rush. But, I had some great role models to look up to when I was a young fella.
Role models? A, you were messy as a roommate, and B, I'd send you over to get a toasted sandwich. You come just for one back by yourself. Not one for me.
Bro, I still remember your rules, bro. You're like, I need my bath temperature at this certain temp, and I need my pillows fluffed just before I go to bed. Yeah.
I want to crack on into probably a really important period, I suppose, for the Chiefs and yourself, obviously, the 2012 and 2013 seasons. 2012, you had a new coach come into the regime, as Dave Rennie. For you, what did he bring as a coach into this Chiefs setup?
He probably brought a lot more understanding of who we were with our identity as Chiefs. Everything changed in 2012. We changed facilities. We moved from the stadium. Yeah. If you know what Waikato Stadium, that's where Waikato is based now, but that's where the Chiefs were also based. And it was a bit of a dungeon. I didn't get much daylight down there. And we actually moved to the facility the Chiefs are now at Ruakura. So, and we built that with our own hands. I remember we're going in pre-season, smashing it up with hammers and sledgehammers and doing what we needed to do to get that building to what it is now. And we just started fresh. Ren's obviously recruited really well. We had no superstars back then. We had Brody Retallick and Sam Keynes, but they were kids back then. Mm. No one knew who they were, so he just recruited really well. He just got some, his favourite quote is this: good working hard buggers, and that's what we were. We just worked really hard for each other. Pre-season was probably one of the most interesting pre-seasons I've had. We've done a lot of team building. You know what pre-season's like. Yeah. Usually you just get smashed for 2-3 weeks. You're just running and doing weights and that's it. But we actually, first day we had a rugby ball and we're doing skills and we're understanding our roles and our positions and the different skills that were required to play the game plan that the coaching staff wanted to have. So that was a first for me. Like I said, usually pre-season you're just up and down hills running. It's not a lot of fun, but we actually incorporated the ball for the first time that I've had. So, yeah, he brought a real good work ethic and understanding of who we were and how we wanted to play.
You talk about that. I mean, he made even say, like, a lot of the calls around the whenua and the land and a lot of those things, incorporated that as well and the general public and connecting with the tangata whenua, the people.
Yeah, bro, we 100% connected with the people, with our land and where we're from. Like, I didn't realise that the Waikato Stadium was an old pass site, and I played there for 4 years. Yeah. It wasn't until we sort of really dug deep into who we were as Chiefs and what we stood for and represented. You know, we're a real proud franchise. The areas that we come from is really strong and Māori them. Yeah. So we spent a lot of time learning about our history and our culture, not just about the Chiefs, but also, you know, Bay of Plenty, Waikato teams, counties, all the sub-tribes that joined the Chiefs into one, yeah. Taranaki. So we even converted the old town of Huntly, which is a massive league town.
Yes.
You can't even speak about rugby in that town. We converted them into Chiefs fans just because we took time to get into that community and really connect with those people.
You spoke about Ren's making some big calls. He had to. He got rid of a whole bunch of players and, as you spoke about, brought on some new ones, like Aaron Cruden, and he spoke about Brody. And Craig Clark, your offsider there. I mean, so straight off the bat, I suppose, just connecting as a group, that would have been huge for them.
Yeah, I think, like I said at the start, people got to realise that 2012 team, there weren't a lot of superstars. Mm. Sonny was probably the only massive superstar in Cruds at the time.
Yeah.
I was still just a battler, still am, same as Craig Clark. So we were just a team of hardworking, of good guys like that had a real strong foundation of identity of who we were and what we're about and who we're playing for. And you can see that winning those titles is that you can see that we're actually playing for something more important than just the game of rugby.
Yeah. And Wayne Smith, I mean, the professor, he was obviously brought in as well from Wrens. I mean, he must have added some massive things to the group.
Yeah, he did, bro. And everyone knows, you know, the brain that Wayne Smith has. But, man, he rides you, bro, and he doesn't care who you are. If you've played one game or 100 games, he's riding you just to get the best out of you. He never makes it personal. He's always, you know, he's always there to get the best out of you and make sure that you understand what your role is or responsibilities are. So, man, he's got so much respect for that. Man, he's... when I went through my tough time in 2011, when I missed the World Cup, he was only there's only a handful of people that really believed in me and trusted in me, and he was one of them.
I reckon you guys are one of the first ones to do the old co-captains, especially that early on with Craig Clark. How did that sort of work out? How was that sort of balance, you know what I mean? Because you predominantly did the interviews so you could get your mug on TV, but my mate over there, he was the grounder. He didn't get any love. Hey.
Nah, bro. See, this when you do your research, my bro. It was the opposite. I was terrible in front of the camera. I couldn't speak. Always do the stutter. And Craig O'Wicker was real calm and methodical and like just real cool headed. Sometimes it'll take him a while to answer a question. That's just who Wicker is. But it worked out really well, bro, because we are total opposite leaders. I'm a real emotional leader, sort of. Do you up, get you up, and sort of follow me. Where Craig is sort of that calm influence, where you need to sometimes just take a moment, take a breath, and regroup as a team. And
talking about Aaron Cruden, was he the toughest standoff, or one of the toughest standoffs you play with? Because he didn't back down for anyone, did he?
Nah, he didn't back down, but he's one of the smartest, smartest men I've played with, bro. And yeah, he's got a big heart, big ticker, but just the way he can get the boys around the field and get their game going and what needs to be done, and just the way he can adapt to things, different situations, just like that. He was a pleasure to play with.
You guys had some pretty big characters, I'll be honest, apart from yourself and their team. You had Big Ben, Tommy Funa and Sona Tomalolo, obviously were fan favourites, the old try scorer. What was it like with those dudes?
Well, to be honest, bro, with Big Benny, he probably got a Big Ben pie sponsorship, I think, for being so big, which isn't too big for my big Tomlin friend. Probably not the best sponsorship, but he took and ran with it. But, bro, to be honest, he wouldn't mind me sharing the story. He was absolutely terrible when he first turned up to the Chiefs. Yeah. We, as a leadership group, we wanted him kicked out. I remember me and Craig went to Renz and said we want to get this kid out of here. Was turning up late. He falls asleep some meetings, but now we know why. He's actually got some sleeping disorder
or
whatever.
Is he?
Something like that, bro. Yeah. Our first game, he was still asleep in our first meeting, so he didn't play our first game. So, we just wanted him out. But to be fair to my big friend, he turned the leaf, bro, and just put all his heart and soul into the Chiefs, bro. And now he's one of the highest paid rugby players playing in France, eating pies and locking down scrums.
I'll tell you what though, I remember seeing Ben as, I think, just coming out of school at a rugby camp, and he had some skills. He had some real skills for him, man.
People don't realise. He's an awesome character. He loves the Chiefs, carries the Chiefs flag even to this day. Went up in France, he was living up in Paris at the time, and had this massive, probably stole it actually from out of our Chiefs locker. But Chiefs flag that he flies high in his house in Paris. So he's Chiefs hard, and he was really a fan favourite, and really, like I said, took that Chiefs identity and culture to the fullest.
You're 12-4, you had a home semi against the Crusaders. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I just remember it was probably first time in a while that Waikato Stadium has been sold out.
Rammed,
I just remember the vibe and the atmosphere was just unbelievable. And, man, on that day, we probably could have beat anybody. We probably could have beaten the All Blacks. Like, we were just we were just so zoned in. The boys were just fizzing at everything. And we really prided ourselves on our defence and our physicality. We try to have a little bit of difference about ourselves. We probably pushed the boundaries a bit with the rules and cleaning out and whatnot. But I thought that was our identity, and that sort of separated us from everybody else. And it's funny, after that year, they changed a few rules, especially around the breakdown. That's Wayne Smith again and Tom Coventry's sort of ways. But I just remember that game, bro. Just the atmosphere was just unbelievable. And I remember, I think Dizzy had a shot right at the end to win it, penalty kick to win it, and it fell short. I think the mighty Waikato wind sort of pushed his ball to the right a bit. We just pumped it. We just kicked it, 22, kicked it down long and just defended for, bro, I think it was like 3 or 4 minutes.
I remember
defended, and actually I think they started in our 40 and we ended up finishing in their 40 defensively, which is pretty huge, massive effort from the lads. So, we're pretty buzzing after that one.
But just tell me, for you, like you say, that being there and being identified with the people in the land, how awesome was that build-up for that final?
Oh, it was good, Botu, because, to be honest, 2009, I'd been in the same situation in Pretoria, and we got an absolute hiding. It was like 50 points or something, bro, and I still remember to this day that final when I think we kicked off in the second half to the Bulls, and they literally caught it and drove like 60 metres with Bucky Sportar and Victor Matfield just like shaking their head and their Loftus crowd just going nuts at them. And I just remember that preparation that we had, and we enjoyed it, but I think we probably enjoyed it too much. We always say that we want to enjoy the occasion, enjoy the week building into the final. I think we probably enjoyed it too much. But then this time, I could use that experience on our lads, and we just done what we always done, and that's work hard. That was our biggest strength, was that we just worked hard for each other, and we done everything we need to do during the week. You're not going to get fitter or stronger, so we just made sure we're sharpening up, and we just done everything, like I said, all our homework, still worked hard, and just ripped into the final.
I think one image that really stuck with me and a lot of people watching was the haka that you guys performed after that final win. I mean, no Super Rugby team had done that previously. So what was the makings around that? How did that come about?
Yeah, I think the same again, just really connecting to our identity and who we are and who we want to be. I remember we're sitting in a room, myself, Tanido Latimer, Dave Rennie, and our cultural advisor, Order. We're just sitting down, and he sort of took charge, Order, and just asked us what we wanted to be about and what this haka wants to be. And we just sat down, had a conversation about it, and then literally 2-3 days later, Order turned up with his students from Rākaumanga, ripped out this haka, and we're just like goosebumps on the back of our neck everywhere. To this day, every time we hear it, it's a pretty awesome legacy that we can leave there at the Chiefs.
Was that the start of Chiefs Mana?
Nah, it wasn't, bro. It wasn't the start of Chiefs Mana. Good friend, Sione, rest his soul, rest in peace. Yeah. He actually created that word, bro, and it was probably back in 2008, 2009, around the Carver Bowl, actually. He probably had something else in his cover, but
we're all good. That happens. Let's be honest. We're all good. Things happen.
Yeah. I think he wanted to taste a bit different, but we were just sitting around home, and he just came off the word Chiefs Mana, because no matter what, who's coached the Chiefs, I've always had this. Even when you were playing back in the 1880s,
the black and white days.
the Chiefs' identity and culture has always been, strong.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've always been about the brotherhood first and our family. It's just different coaches have put their sort of twist and spin on it.
We'll kick on to the 2013 season. I reckon it's one of the hardest things to do is repeat titles, So did anything change in that pre-season, or did the Wrens keep it the same? Or?
Nah, we pretty much kept it the same. Yeah. Same thing again. We just went back to what we knew, and that was hard work. It's probably the hardest campaigns that I've ever worked, trained in. We had Smithy's big thing was having the two best 15 on the field training against each other.
Yeah.
So our Thursday afternoon trainings was pretty much a game. Like, that's how intense it was.
Brutal.
It was brutal, bro. Physical as. And the boys that weren't in the 15 or the 23, but they were coming for you. Like, the coaches go up to them and like, you want to play next week? Well, this is where you prove it. And like, they don't tell us. We're just getting ready to play a game. So we're like, you have to be on every training, because these boys that wanted to crack the 2023 or 22 back then were just flying and honing in. So, we worked each other really hard. Same thing in 2013. But what I really enjoyed about 2013 is that no one even gave us a chance, because 2012 we had a couple of young fellas, but then 2013 no one thought we could go back-to-back, and we lost some players. We got some new players, some new young fellas again, and then sort of just went – Done our work during the season, and we've worked hard enough to make the final again.
Was there anyone in particular who had a go at you at the Thursday training? We've just been a big bully like normal, my mate.
I've had a couple of scraps. The thing is, I would get a bit worried as a leader if we didn't have a few scraps in a couple of weeks. I just think it's always good to have a bit of edge and a bit of competitiveness. Have that competitive steel and. Just have something about you. Brody Vitalik actually his first, this is back in 2012, Tom Coventry at the time, I don't know if he'd done it on purpose, but he got the last year's team forward pack to train against the new guys coming in, and we're doing live morning, and like I said, it was physical, it was full on. We just ended up having a big punch up, and big Brody, young Brody at the time, he was like 19, whatever, sloppy as, just full punch up, and he's in there, like not taking a backward step, and I was just like, phew, that's mean, because I remember when I was in the sevens, and we all know Mato Parkinson was a hell of a player, but he used to love flying in with his shoulders.
Elbows
or
first.
And I remember, elbows first, hit first and ask later, that's what he told me, but I remember him, I can't remember someone told me, he goes, don't worry about Matsy, like, just hit him back and then he'll get your respect. So I remember one camp I sort of just smacked him on the nose, and I was just like, ooh. And I thought he was just going to be a crack, and he just looked at me, he's like, mean boy. And I was just like, ooh. You know, and that's the same sort of thing when I saw Brody. When Brody sort of stood there and just went at it, just held his ground and just went toe-to-toe, and I was like, this kid's got something special about him. And
we'll go on to the Super Rugby final where you played the Brumbies. The first half, I think, wasn't too good. Christian Leliafano had actually played pretty well. So what was said in that sheds under pressure?
Oh, man. I honestly can't remember what happened. I think it was pretty calm. It was pretty calm, to be honest. I don't think we had fired a shot in that first half.
Yeah.
And the Brumbies definitely came to play. And we were just banking on, you know, we just had to get back into the game, trust our process and trust what was good for us. Don't worry about them. And we just got that momentum back. Rugby's all about momentum, changes and shifters. And, you know, we're just trying to change the momentum back to our favour. And with a sold Waikato Stadium behind us, we knew if we got it rolling, it would be pretty hard to stop.
We talk about momentum. I think it was like 17 minutes to go. You're 10 points down and you score the try to get that momentum. Obviously, you called your own number.
I thought, saw the scoreboard, I was like, stuff this, I'm going to do it all myself.
But I mean, it was a massive
momentum.
You thought
it was useless, I'm doing it by myself.
Shot LeBron.
Nah, it was actually an old school scrum move that Sammy Kane was supposed to come around and get the ball off me. And I was waiting and he wasn't coming. And then I just saw a bit of a hole and just ran 60 metres with 10 guys on my back and scored the try.
It's 4 metres, but you did yourself into the game.
4 metres.
I mean, but you got the MVP of that final. I mean, but it was a very different win than the previous year, wasn't it? That second final.
Yeah, it was, bro. And again, like I said, it was because people didn't think we could do it again. And the team that we had wasn't as talented as the first, 2012. And that's what was really pleasing was that. And we just had worked so hard, gone sort of under the radar a bit because people didn't really think we could do it. We definitely themed the whole year on being able to go back to back and talked about other great teams and other sports that have gone back to back and how hard it actually is to go back to back in professional sport. And I think maybe the Crusaders and someone else were the only teams that were better to do that. So we wanted to write our own history, our own legacy, and to be able to do that, we had to win 2013.
I mean, you've been around playing professional for a while, 70 years, I think, all over the world. Is that one of your two favourite years you ever played?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah. 2012 and 13 are definitely are 2 years that I absolutely enjoyed playing. Like I said, just got a real stronger connection to our people here in the Chiefs area and to the Chiefs and myself as well. I learned so much as a player, as a leader and as a man. So I remember 2011, I missed out on the World Cup and I got challenged on my game and, you know, I could have gone two ways. I could have just gone overseas and cashed up straight away or just, you know, take all that, I guess, disappointment and that challenge and go towards it. And if it wasn't for the Chiefs and Dave Rennie, Wayne Smith, Andrew Strawbridge and Tom Coventry and those years, I wouldn't be where I am today. So I'm super grateful. Worked my ass off to get there. But, yeah, super grateful that I had to go through that process.
So what was it like for you getting the call-up after that? After all those hard times, after winning his titles, then finally cracking it again.
Yeah, well, because 2012, I thought I was probably playing the best rugby that I've played, and still missed out on the All Blacks. I think the Irish turned up, and unfortunately, I think two or three of the blindside flankers went down with injury, and I was last resort. I think I was the only six left in the country. They ran
opportunities,
me up
bro.
They,
opportunities,
bro. And they're playing here in Hamilton. Yep. And I think they wanted to save some money with bringing someone from
no flights and no hotels.
No flights, bro. I could just drive straight to training, stay at home. There's a couple hundred bucks they can save. And yeah, they sent me up, and I just thought, yeah, sweet as. I just thought I'd go there and hold the tackle bag for the week. And then when I got there, Steve was like, oh, we're going to play. And I was just like, oh, sweet, mean. And I was just like, this is my opportunity I've had.
Yeah.
I just thought, you know, stuff or whatever happens, I'm just going to go out there on my home whenua at the par. Yeah. I'm just going to rip into it. Whatever happens. If I make mistakes, I make mistakes. Mm. It is what it is. I'm just going to go out there, wear the black jersey with pride and just swing for the fences.
But getting, I wouldn't say, one of the outer statesmen, shall we say, in the team. But I mean,
bro, it's all right to say I'm old, bro. It's all right to say I'm old.
Well, I'm older.
I take pride in my age when I'm at the gym and I'm out lifting these young bucks and bloody beating them in the Bronco and smashing them out on the fitness. Like, I take pride in that, bro. So it's okay to say that I'm an old man.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm right there with you, because I'm twice your age. But, I mean, for you, like, Brad Thornton played late in his career. You've done it late in your career. I mean, obviously, look after your body, as you say, you train a lot. At what stage did you think, my body's my vehicle, so I've got to look after it?
It's happened for me, like I said, back when I was at the Sevens, when I was 17, 18 years old. We didn't have nutritionists back then. We just had touch. I don't know if there's a lot of science behind that.
There was none whatsoever.
There was none. I just knew that there's no GPS. I just knew if they have like a big drink of pump after training, you know, you worked hard. And again, I just, you know, Titch just ingrained us like healthy eating. You know, you weren't allowed chocolate, fried food and that. And even though we hated him for it, I've been like that since then. Like, I still, I like to have a burger now and then, but I wouldn't, you know, it's a lifestyle choice that I got shown at a very young age. And that's just until this day. So, yeah, I'm very grateful for having those lessons, even though I remember talking about roomies. Rushy was my roomie, and
he
talked to this with Mussy. just have packets of lollies, and I just thought that was normal way, and then it wasn't until we were, like, hide it under something so Titch wouldn't see, and I was like, oh, maybe it's not normal. So then, again, I was just following what I saw, bro, and not a lot of science behind Titch's theories, but it's stuck with me ever since, and like I said, I've been playing this game for 17 years now, so... It has surely had a part to play in it.
I know you've got a boxing match coming up pretty quick next week, actually. Just tell me the how that all sort of eventuated and who you're doing it for. You're doing it for a young man, are you?
Yeah, no. So I've always enjoyed the art of boxing, the science of boxing. I love the hard work of it. It's probably the hardest training that you have to do, because in rugby you've got your teammates you can count on, but in boxing it's just you. And these two things, and if these two things are not working, you're in a dark place. I'm getting a hiding. So, I just needed to stay active and stay fit during summer. I really wasn't too keen on playing Super Rugby because I've been away in France, and I really wanted to be a full-time dad and spend good quality time with my kids over summer, over their summer break and the start of school, and go to school camps and things like that. Because one thing rugby takes away from you is your time for your kids, and you can't get that back. So I made a real conscious effort that I'm going to put all my time and effort into my kids for summer. So I just needed something to stay fit and healthy, and boxing is something I love to do. And that's how that came about. Mm. And at the same time as that came about, one of the whānau, their nephew is going through a real tough time with cancer. So I thought I'd just jump in the ring, turn it into a charity fight, and try and make as much money as I can for this young kid and his whānau, just to help ease their struggles a bit. So all for charity and for love of the sport of boxing.
If anyone wanted to try and donate any money for your cause, is there any place they can go to? Or?
Yep, so go onto my Instagram page. It's in my bio, the give a little cause.
Now, you're saying you've finished your rugby, you're back home. You got some other things on your plate as well, with businesses that you're starting up and involved with?
Yeah, I've just got a few businesses over in France, a CBD company that I'm really proud to have co-founded with a good friends of mine, Teddy Stanaway, ex-Sevens player.
Yep.
So we're trying to do great things, and we're trying to build something over in France with CBD. The goal is to bring it back here into Aotearoa and to give it to our people at a real cheap rate. At a cheap price,
waterful,
because we know it can benefit so many people.
You know what, Mess? It's always a pleasure catching up, my man. Hope everything goes well. Still looking fit, and good luck for the next week for the boxing match, eh, bro?
Thanks, my bro.
All right, that's us done and dusted for another episode of Playmakers Rugby Stories. So make sure you tune in next week where we have another superstar of rugby right here.